This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story, well told. I'm John Matarazzo. On this special Charisma News episode, after 19 years of being on death's doorstep, Todd Shoemaker was miraculously healed and ran 1,000 miles the next year. His powerful story and upcoming documentary, right after this.
Did you know families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually often won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant? At Liberty University, we created a solution to help students afford the quality education they deserve. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of up to $5,495 per year for up to 4 years. And the Middle America Scholarship is stackable with most other Liberty aid. Learn more by texting MAS to 49596. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
This is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and with me today is Todd Shoemaker. He is known as the Dead Man Running. And you are going to be inspired by his testimony that he's going to be sharing during this podcast interview. And not only are you going to be auditorily inspired by hearing his testimony, but you have the opportunity to watch his testimony unfold in a special documentary that he's partnering with Charisma Media to release this to the world. And we're going to be sharing how you can access that a little bit later. But his website is deadmanrunningmovie.com. You are going to be just blown away by his testimony. We got to spend a little bit of time together a couple weeks ago and got to really hear what God has done in his life and how he's brought some amazing healing from multiple things where there definitely didn't seem like there was any end in sight that would be a good end. But Todd, it's great to have you on this news podcast, and I'm excited to share your story because this is breaking news. It's going to inspire people.
Well, it's good to see you again, John, and to hang out a little bit.
Yeah. So, Todd, take us to what happened. Tell me about your life, because you didn't just have one health issue. You had several things, but they didn't all come at the same time.
Right.
It was kind of like one thing after another. I mean, if you look at a modern day comparison and biblical comparison to your modern day situation, that would probably be like Job, where it just seemed like one thing after another after another. How did this happen? What happened to you?
Well, John, it's interesting. You know, my wife and I got married in 1999, and you know, you have these hopes and dreams, and you have these adventures that you want to do and places that you want to see. And, you know, we were doing that. And then in 2002, after a summer of a missions trip and a camp for middle school and high schoolers at our church, I was just tired. And, you know, my wife was like, well, you know, you're tired. You've been going all summer long. So we didn't think much of it. But about 3 months later, I'm still just as tired, just as fatigued. So finally went to the doctor. At that point, I was diagnosed with several forms of crippling arthritis and put on several experimental drugs. And the doctors kept saying, we've never seen anybody have arthritis this severely at your age. Because I was in like my mid-30s. I was 35 about that time.
Wow.
And but fast forward to a year to 2003, come to find out it wasn't a misdiagnosis. A lot of people think it was a misdiagnosis of arthritis. It's just the type of cancer I had sometimes can mask itself as arthritis. So in 2003, they found a tumor in my chest. You know, praise God, it was only at the very beginning of cancer, like stage one, and had open heart surgery to remove that. And, you know, during that surgery, God just gave me a vision to start running marathons and sharing the gospel. And I had probably not run more than a half a mile in probably 15 years, you know, at that point. But that just started us on a road of being diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's, being diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, which eats all your muscles away, being diagnosed with gastroparesis, which eventually led me to not being able to eat solid foods. So it was just like one thing after another just hit me. And going into that, I was relatively healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were just on a mission trip. And then when you came back from that, you just were exhausted. And I mean, I've been tired from a mission trip too. And
Yeah.
But it didn't last for 3 months.
So. Yeah. And that was a thing, you know, I thought, well, you know, I was thinking the same thing. Well, I'm just tired from that summer. But 3 months later, I didn't feel any better than I had 3 months prior.
Yeah. What were you doing for work at this point or before this?
Yeah, I spent over 20 years working in juvenile justice in the state of Florida. So in doing youth, inner city youth ministry, and God just really had me busy.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of stopped.
Yeah, things really stopped in 2009 when I thought I just had a cold and ended up finding out, you know, the doctors ended up on in March of that year saying, yeah, you have 24 hours or less to live. Your body's shutting down and we don't know why. But 22 days later, I walked out of ICU and went home. But that just started 10 years of averaging 150 to 200 days a year in the hospital with my body shutting down constantly and them having to put me on IVs and all kinds of different treatments to keep me going.
So that much time in the hospital, obviously you couldn't work anymore. And
right.
So you were passionate about that. How did you see God provide during that time?
Well, you know, what's amazing is, I used all my sick time up very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, sure.
But people just, you know, friends would come by and by the hospital or by the house, and they'd say, oh, by the way, here's a card. You know, you can open it up later. And, you know, Laura and I would open it up later. And sometimes there was a $1,000 check in there. There was a $500 check. There were $5 checks. You know, I mean, people just really rallied around us, you know, at that point to make sure that financially, you know, because we were down basically at that point, you know, the half of 2009, we were basically down just to Laura's, my wife's salary. So people were just blessing us and keeping us afloat.
Wow. So you're just seeing God provide in miraculous ways that were unexpected.
Yes. Right.
And she was still working and you guys were still doing everything that you could while
yeah.
you were fighting for your life all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was, there were some mornings, John, that Laura would get up and we had this little back scratcher. And if she couldn't see me breathing, seeing my chest go up and down, she would poke me just a little bit with this back scratcher just to make sure that I was still alive. So if she saw me move a little bit, she was like, okay, I can go to work. He was alive when I left. Just pray that he's alive when I get home.
That's traumatic. My
gosh. That was an everyday event, unless I just happened to be up when she left.
So literally she was just checking to see if you were alive and then praying throughout the day that you didn't die while she wasn't there.
Oh yeah.
That's
I mean the rule was if I happened to be asleep, which didn't happen a lot, but when I happened to be asleep when she left, I had to text or call her the first, you know, that was the first thing I did, you know, with waking up was like, hey, I'm awake. I can walk today. You know,
wow.
I don't think I need to go to the hospital today.
Wow. So how did your wife deal with all this? I mean, she seems, just from what you're saying, it seems like she had to have been pretty strong in the Lord and her faith.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's a rock star, but it was just us believing that, I mean, we obviously know that God didn't give me any of those health issues, but God did allow us to walk through those health issues. And we just always knew that God was always going to provide. God was always going to be there with us every step of the way. And I mean, not to say there weren't rough moments. I mean, you know, when you're continuously hearing like, hey, guess what? Your husband probably not going to live through the night. You know, those are tough things for any spouse, you know, to hear. But we just, you know, we had a great support system of church friends and just friends who just rallied around us and rallied around her, you know, because a lot of times, John, people forget about the caregiver during that time and everything's focused on the patient. Well, I always tried to make sure that she was taken care of because she was going, even though physically she wasn't going through the battle, in every other way she was going through the battle
right.
with me.
Right. So You said that you spent a lot of time in the hospital. So
yeah.
I remember you telling me that basically you refused to wear the gowns that they that they would provide you. Can you explain to everybody why you made that decision and what you did instead?
Yeah, you know, for me, John, it was when I see people in a gown at a hospital, they just look sick. And when I would have a gown on, I would look at myself in the mirror, you know, at the very beginning and go, yeah, I don't like this. So I just started wearing t-shirts and running shorts and my running shoes because I just always wanted to be ready for when God healed me, but I just never wanted to look sick. And that goes back, John, to 2009 when they gave me 24 hours to live. Everybody always says, Todd, Laura, what? Write down the prayer that you guys prayed because we want to pray that for our family member. And I'm like, I said, Laura might have been praying at that point, but for me, God just said, Todd, never look sick or act sick, and I'm going to walk you through this. So for those 10 and a half years of being in the hospital, treatment centers, doctor's offices, pretty much every day, people would always say, well, where's the patient? And I'm like, well, I'm the patient. And they're like, yeah, but you don't look sick. You're not, you don't act sick. And I'm like, well, let me tell you that. So during that 10 and a half year period, I had the chance to share the gospel with over 1,000 people based on them going, well, you don't look sick. You don't act sick. Why are you in here?
Yeah. So that's a tremendous opportunity that you used because you were obedient to what God said. God gave you,
right.
Okay, here's your battle plan. Here's your spiritual warfare battle plan. Here's what I want you to do. Don't look sick and don't act sick, even though you are literally on your deathbed most of the year. And there's a lot of stuff going wrong and you could have been wallowing in self-pity. How did you exercise that gift of faith and keep it strong?
You know, it was an everyday prayer of God. Just, you know, my prayer every day waking up, of course, was for my wife and my family, but then was, God, today's the day that you heal me. Today's the day. So for 17 and a half years, I prayed that prayer every day. And at the end of the day, I'd go, oh, well, maybe tomorrow, you know, next morning, pray the same thing. End of the day, you know, for 17 and a half years, I didn't get an answer, you know, but I never stopped believing. And I just, you know, I just made a determination. And John, I know you've done a little bit of running.
A little bit.
And for runners, you know, but for runners, it's, you know, when you run long distances, you know, like I was doing, you get a mental strength. You get not just a physical strength, but you get a mental strength of, okay, I'm at mile 19. I don't feel like going to mile 20. But inside you, you're like, nope, I got to push through. So for me, that was the way I dealt with my health issues was, okay, I'm at mile whatever. I got to push through to get to the next mile.
So you just talked about running here, and this is a big part of your life. So even while you were sick, you were still trying to run.
I was running, you know, from 2009 until 2019 when I got my healing, I physically was not able to run. But during that time, every year God would say, okay, go buy a new pair of running shoes. And I was kind of like, okay, well, I like buying running shoes. So, but people would say, Todd, why are you wasting your money? And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm wasting my money. God's telling me to do it. It's his money. So if he wants me to go buy running shoes, I'm going to go buy running shoes.
So that was like a prophetic act of faith there to, this is what God's telling me to do. First off, don't look sick, don't act sick, and then buy running shoes. Even when none of those things were correct or were a fact in that day, but the truth was, this is what God gave you to stand on.
Right. The rest of the world looked at it as, you're just wasting money. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it as like, no, I'm being obedient to what God's asking me to do. And a lot of those shoes, John, I ended up giving away. Mm-hmm. You know, God would say, yeah, you know, so-and-so can't afford shoes. Go give them a pair of shoes. Or somebody's just starting to run. Go, you know, go give them a pair of shoes. So God used that time in a lot of different ways.
So now let's talk about your healing process.
Yeah.
How did God operate in this? Because you weren't expecting to get healed that day.
No. The night of the healing, which was November 3rd of 2019, Laura and I only went to that event because we had a lot of friends that needed prayer and healing. And we had invited...
What event was this?
This would have been Chauncey Crandall's healing nights under a tent, an old tent revival. And it was the first one that he'd ever done. And, my wife and I just went expecting to see our family and friends that needed healing to get that healing. And I mean, at that point, the doctors had given me anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks to live. I weighed 112 pounds. I couldn't speak. I couldn't eat food by mouth. So we were just at a point where we were kind of ready, We were at peace. I mean, I always thought, okay, God can still heal me, but I was at peace if God chose not to heal me on this side of heaven. And so we went and, we had a lot of friends show up and, Dr. Crandall gave his message and asked people that wanted to come up for prayer to come. And I just stood there for a few minutes because I was watching all my friends that I had invited go. And it's almost, John, like God put a spotlight on me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm praying. Oh, there's my friend there. There's my friend there." And he's like, "No, you don't understand. I created this night just for you. You need to go forward." So I looked at my wife and I said, "Hey, Laura, I'm heading up." So as I'm heading up there, I felt like two arms come underneath me and kind of pick me up. And I thought, "Oh, some friends are helping me down because they know how weak it is for me to walk." Well, John, when I turned around, there were two women that were 8 feet tall.
Okay.
And, when you have Parkinson's, when you have Parkinson's, you have hallucinations. So I thought, well, maybe I'm just having a hallucination, but I was very at peace. It wasn't like I was scared. It wasn't like, what in the world is happening? They took me all the way to the front and I kept hearing their voices going, "You have to pray over every part of his body. He's dying." And I kept thinking, who are these women? How do they know my story? And Dr. Crandall came by and prayed for me, and he anointed me with oil, and my body just felt like it was on fire. And I thought, well, I'm either dying or I'm being healed, and I was fine with either one. He prayed over me, another pastor, which, God is so awesome in the way he does things, because I had never met this pastor before, but his name was Stanley Love. And I thought, well, what a great last name to have somebody be there when I get a healing. And he prayed all over me. And after the minute he took his hand off of my stomach, I literally felt like, man, I think I have a hunger pain. And I hadn't had one of those in 5 years, so I wasn't quite sure what I was feeling. And I looked over at my wife and I said, "Honey," I said, "I think I might be hungry." And she's like, "What?" And she said, "Hey, turn your voice down," because I used to have to wear this voice and it would crackle in crowds.
You had to wear an apparatus that would be
right. Like,
it was like an
amplifier. Yeah, it was like an amplifier because I couldn't get anything out, for you to hear me. And sometimes it would crackle in crowds. So my wife's like, "Hey, they're still praying, turn your voice down," because she could hear me from, 6-10 feet away. And I went to turn it off, and it was already off. So I was literally speaking with my real voice without the assistance of a machine.
Wow.
And that night I took 2 bites of chicken salad and had 1 fry, and I thought, okay, well, I think God's either healed me or he's in the process of healing me. And I think it's still a process, So I started running a month later. And last year, 2020, I was able to run over 1,000 miles. So that's the story.
That's amazing. I've never run that far. The most I've done at one time was a 5K, and that wasn't the best experience for me. But you've done 1,000 miles in a year after this incredible healing that you're still, like, you had the initial healing and you're still progressively being healed, right?
Right, yeah, because in February of this year, I almost died of COVID. Mm. So it was another blow of, okay, well, here we go again, you know, but God once again got me through that and, you know, just added it to the testimony.
Hmm. So what made you want to tell your story in a documentary form? How did that come out? Because I had the opportunity to watch this before you actually came to the office here and
right.
We got to spend some time together in person. And I was just so encouraged by your testimony and all the ways that, you know, the filmmakers were able to tell your story by getting other people that were either the doctors or your friends. And so it wasn't just you telling a story, but it's corroborated
right.
by your friends and doctors and, you know, official
yeah.
reports. This is a true verified healing.
Yeah.
And you have the opportunity to share it with this documentary. How did this come about? And let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, John, because I have some friends that, you know, they do like a little filming and that's kind of their passion. And I said, hey, guys, could we just put together like a 30-minute YouTube video and I'll just share a little bit of my story. And if it encourages somebody, great. If not, you know, then we didn't waste a lot of time. And they were all like, 30-minute video. Like, no, this is a movie. This is a documentary that needs to be told. So obviously I'm not from that world. So I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I said yes. But, you know, it was just a blessing because, you know, you see these people walking through the journey with you, but you don't always know what their emotions were and what their thinking was. And, you know, to hear people say, hey, when we used to go on vacation, we would say goodbye to Todd like it was the last time. And I thought, well, I've never heard that before. Mm. Like they'd never shared that with me, you know, before. So to hear these different stories that we heard throughout the documentary was eye-opening for me because, John, I never looked at myself as being sick. Like I always looked at myself as still being the runner, still being the, you know, the active guy, you know, even though, I mean, obviously I was sick. You've seen the pictures. So mm-hmm. obviously I was sick and I knew I was sick, but I never took on that identity of being sick.
Yeah. Taking on that identity is, you know, it's so easy to do to attach our identity to the things that are wrong with us.
Right.
But we need to live in the identity that God has called us to. And
yeah.
part of that was that God told you that you're a runner.
Right.
And you've taken on this identity of dead man running. I'm sure that's a playoff of dead man walking.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, John, is how that title came up because, you know, my wife and I had written a book that came out in 2019, which basically our story, kind of in a way like a goodbye that, okay, we've walked this journey, but we wanted to encourage people on how to walk, whether it's a health journey or any journey, we wanted to encourage people. So it was kind of an encouragement and kind of like, hey, if I don't make it, at least my story goes on.
Hmm.
And, you know, so we, you know, when we started making the documentary, I was like, I don't think I want to call it the book title. Like, I think I want to change it up. So I went running one morning and I said, God, if you want me to change the title, I need something. And as I'm running, God said, well, call it Dead Man Running. And I thought, okay, well, can you explain that to me? And he said, well, you were basically dead. People that are runners will come see the film because they're going to think, oh, it's about running. But
yeah.
what's going to happen is they're going to find me instead. And then young people and people that are into the dead man walking and film, you know, TV shows and films like that are going to think, oh, it's about zombies or something. And they're going to come. But when they come, they're going to leave knowing me. So that's kind of how the title came up.
And hopefully, ultimately, knowing Jesus and knowing your testimony and how Jesus was the one that healed you. And before we talk about how people can see this, I just want to encourage everybody that you need to, because whenever you and I had the chance to talk the other day, you mentioned something about a secondhand healing from hearing testimonies.
Yeah.
And so I wanted you to just tell a little bit about that as an encouragement for people to come and check this documentary out.
Yeah, I was at a healing service over the summer of this year, and a friend of mine introduced me to a friend of his, And he said, you know, can you share your story? And I said, well, I'm just about to go on stage to do that, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So I just shared like maybe 2-3 minutes of my story. I didn't pray for this young lady. I didn't lay hands on this young lady. I had no idea. I mean, if you were to look at her, you would have thought that she was in great, great shape, great health. The next day, my friend contacts me and says, hey, remember my friend that I introduced you to? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, when we left, she looked over to the lady that was sitting next to her that she had never met and said, I don't know what that man just did, but my back, which is, I'm not sure what the issue was, but it had been like 10 years or more that she had been in back pain. That pain totally went away. And she felt like her back was completely healed. And so the power of the testimony, and that's what I always try to share with people, is it doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter if you got saved at 5 and you've walked with Jesus your whole life, or you've just been walking with Jesus for a month and you got this big story, testimony to tell. God wants us all to share the testimony and the story that He's given each of us.
Amen. Amen. And that is so important. And Todd, I want to thank you for sharing your testimony in this podcast, but also in your documentary, which people can find at deadmanrunningmovie.com. And also, there's going to be links with Charisma that we'll be able to make that connection there. But November 17th at 8 p.m. is the public release of that. Yeah. And you just want to make sure that you mark your calendars and be able to see that as quickly as possible, and you can be blessed and maybe even healed by hearing this testimony. So Todd, thank you so much for sharing about this release that's coming up and the documentary. And so again, that's deadmanrunningmovie.com, and we're excited to be able to partner with you to get this amazing testimony out.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. It's been a blessing.
I'm John Matarazzo. Join me on my Along the Way podcast. You'll hear interviews with people who are actively walking with Christ so that we can learn from others' journeys along their way. You can find my Along the Way podcast, as well as many more Spirit-filled podcasts, on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News podcast, One Story, Well Told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.